And welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful eclipse day. The only good thing that may have come of it is I have gotten a couple of reports now of people actually getting outside and glory be, talking to each other again about something unusual. Reminded me of the ancient peoples when they would see an eclipse. You can imagine how it affected people. When back in the old days, 1,000 years ago or more, there were no big screen TVs because they all looked up at night. That was their big screen TV. Think about it. They didn't miss a thing. The movements of the celestial bodies and the cosmos was their programming. And they ascribed all kinds of things to the constellations that they envisioned up there and so forth. It changed. Now that's gone. People don't even look up anymore. It's pretty crazy. But today they had something to look up to. And I can understand people crawling out of their shells and actually being amazed a little bit at what they were seeing. That's nice. It's nice to see. All right. For those of you who like the great movies, they're all the great comedy teams. Remember? Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, all the road movies. Hope and Crosby, remember that? And then there was Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, the Martin and Lewis movies. They were big in the early 50s, right? Who can forget Abbott and Costello? These are great teams. And what about Stan Laurel? Where would Stan Laurel be without Oliver Hardy? And where would I be without Erica Khan? It's the same thing. The same thing. You know better than
You
your
say
partner.
so.
Well, I couldn't think of anything else to say. I thought that was kind of cute.
That'll do.
Well, come on. Give me a break. I'm tired. I'm doing my best. All right. I actually wrote that myself, those ideas. My brain is still alive.
Well, you keep it well
So,
exercised.
yes, is that kind of like the Exorcist, you're saying?
You got to keep your neural plasticity up.
That's true. That's true.
Don't succumb to the digital dementia.
No, but you think seriously, think about it. The Aztecs, the Romans, all great civilizations of the past, although I don't know how great the Aztecs were. Sorry, but they practiced wholesale cannibalism. It's not my cup of tea. Of course, the Romans had their let's tear the Christians up at the Colosseum this afternoon and have a grand time. I wonder what the vendors were like in the Roman Colosseum. I wonder what they were selling. There had to be vendors there, right? Like at a ball game, peanuts or
Yeah.
carrying drinks around. The Romans must have had vendors.
Yeah.
Must have. Anyhow, it would have been kind of interesting. They found another home unexcavated. There are lots left in Pompeii, which is arguably, I would, if I could go anywhere, I think I'd go to Pompeii first. I don't travel, but that would be fascinating to see that. It's a time capsule. It's time travel. They found another home there that was in the middle of some kind of a remodel, and the home was centered. It was a home. It had a big baker's oven in it. And they think it might have been somebody who owned a bakery, or maybe it was a home business run out of the home. But there were all kinds of new tiles, fired glazed tiles stacked up, and piles of limestone, powdered limestone, which they used to mix their concrete. And then they'd make the grout for the tiles, and it was a construction job at mid-stride. It wasn't finished, but they had tools for mixing the limestone in water in a big tub so they could make their concrete to grout the tiles. It was a fascinating little story I found. Interesting. All right. Enough wisdom. Let's get to the nonsense. Your car insurance policy and your home insurance policy. In Oregon, if it's a car insurance policy, I heard a story today, and I don't have the bill number. I don't know. I can't confirm it. But just to give you an idea, and it won't be a surprise to you because they're doing these things all over the place. If you have a car that is older than 2015, you won't be able to get normal car insurance or some such crap. I'm trying to track it down. So they're doing all this stuff, and who's going to fight it? I don't know what you're going to do about it. Your homeowner's policy has changed as well, because the scum that own these huge billion-dollar corporations that write homeowner's policies don't want to pay unless they have to. And one of the biggest things now that may force them to pay is that if we have war, or as they say in the South, WOWA. If we have a big war, a nuclear war, or get this one, or a biological war, a chemical war, or a radiological hazards type of war, your home is excluded from being covered. Your homeowner's policy is worthless if we're hit with nukes, EMFs, anything, biological chemicals. And the actual quote is, your commercial inland marine coverage, that's the name of a company, will include a nuclear, biological, chemical, and radiological hazards exclusion. In other words, you can pay, $5,000 a year for homeowners policy, and they'll just write it off if any of these things happen. And so, again, that's half the story. All right, Stanley, it's your turn.
Well, a similar revision is happening with the travel types of policies. And in particular, I've had this one notification that came through from Airbnb. And they say, dear client, we are updating our extenuating circumstances policy and changing its name to make it easier to understand. The revised, now here's the new name, Major Disruptive Events Policy will apply to all trips and experiences taking place on or after June 6, 2024, regardless of when they were booked. What's changing in the policy? Foreseeable weather events at the reservation's location are explicitly eligible for coverage if they result in another covered event, such as a government travel restriction or large-scale utility outage. The policy
so
will only
apply to...
So a
power outage alone. Just a power outage, okay.
Large-scale power outage, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever that is. All right.
Right. Or government travel restriction. The policy will only apply to events in the place where the reservation is located. Events that impact a guest's ability to travel to the reservation are no longer covered. Your continued use of the Airbnb platform from June 6, 2024 constitutes acceptance of the updated major disruptive events policy. There you go. So it appears as though they've been briefed.
Yeah, sure they have. They know what's coming. Yeah. The briefing would suggest, though, there's going to be an aftermath to deal with. Would it not?
Well, something's going to be catastrophic where they don't want to have to pay out.
Right. But, I mean, there's going to be an aftermath to fight about no more payouts. That's what they're making clear now. There's going to be talk. You follow. There's an A and a B equals C. So we'll see. All right. Well, that's interesting. We know how filthy, dirty hotel and motel rooms are. And I can't imagine Airbnb being, if they're busy, being much different.
Well, these are generally people's private residences second residences where they, they're renting out either rooms or the, maybe a condo or a portion of a house. So they are responsible for, the maintenance. And they do have, over time they've revised their standards, so they're fairly well maintained. The one thing that I've been alerted to, and it does make sense, is you probably want to get yourself a carbon monoxide detector, because some of these places, and this would include hotel rooms too, particularly overseas, a lot of these places don't have carbon monoxide detectors in them. And you can buy, very small ones that are ultra sensitive.
Where do we think the carbon monoxide's coming from? Where do we think the most common?
Oh, faulty heating systems, just poorly ventilated heaters, stoves, cooking, any situation where there's a combustion.
You'd think, wouldn't there isn't good Airbnb ventilation. Would screen?
You'd hope.
And make sure that,
I don't know if maybe they've changed it. You know, it depends probably on the municipality of where the Airbnb is located, that particular residence. But I've heard of people having incidences. Yeah, there've been. I think it was a couple in Mexico last year where it was a hotel room and it was a nice hotel, but there was carbon monoxide leak and they died. This couple died. So you can buy, these are cute little things. They're about $100, and you can, they're actually meant to be in, maybe in your car, because I think it was it a Land Rover or a Ford or something was having a carbon monoxide leak into, the main part of the vehicle, to dangerous levels. So this thing will go off.
In the passenger compartment. Okay.
Yeah. This is better than your standard, CO detector that you plug into your outlet in the home, because that has to reach actually a fairly high level in terms of concentration before it will beep. But this thing goes down to 7 parts per million, and it wouldn't take long for it to reach that level. It was going to accumulate, and it'll beep and let you know you're being poisoned. And with this methemoglobinemia that's going on, people's blood being oxidized, so it's not carrying oxygen very well, your tolerance for carbon monoxide exposure goes down.
Well, and your own body's making it, too, so that's another
problem.
Yes,
when red blood cells or heme is degraded, you actually do produce carbon monoxide in that process.
Now, here's a story out of Canada. This is a nurse practitioner, does functional integrative medicine, I guess, and she knew a gentleman who was mocking her for not getting vaxxed. And he went right ahead and got vaxxed. Well, now this poor gentleman is vax injured to the extent that he is confined to a wheelchair. And this nurse practitioner has, as one of her clients, this very man who used to mock her for not taking the shots. Anything else you want to set that up with?
Yeah, it's. I think this is somewhat old, but it's being recirculated.
Important.
This woman's got a good message, particularly for Canadians, as she herself is Canadian, and she's tired of it.
Exactly. Hold on here. Okay, here we go. This is a nurse practitioner talking.
Are y'all about done with this bullshit yet or not? I'm not talking about the ones that are trying to save other people. I'm talking about the ones that keep on getting in line, rolling their sleeves up, and doing it over and over again because your TV is telling you and the white coats are telling you. I want to show you something. This is a vaccine injury.
She panned off to the left, and there was a Christmas tree in the background, and before the Christmas tree was a man in a wheelchair.
He doesn't get his life back. And I'm here to tell you that the Canadian government lied, despite reassuring Canadians that shots were safe and effective. The Pfizer contract shows the government knew there was no long-term safety or efficacy data since at least October 26th of 2020. The contract reveals an access to information request reveals Pfizer's 19 contract with Canada. And I quote page 18, purchaser further acknowledges that the long-term effects and efficacy of the vaccine are not currently known, and that there may be adverse effects of the vaccine that are not currently known. Again, page 18. I'm going to post the link. You can look it all up yourself. I'm sick of being right. And you know what happens when people want to tell you you've got a tinfoil hat and everything else? This happened. This man told me I had a tinfoil hat. Guess what? I'm looking after his ass now. And I'm grateful he's alive every day. He beat Pfizer. And now I'm going to make sure other people survive because of Pfizer. And I'm going to hold this Canadian government accountable. So you can take that to the bank. The pissed off parents are coming. The pissed off people are coming. And there's no way the WHO is getting in to Canada. You can mark my words. The people will rise. I'm done with this bullshit. Are you?
Good. If people had only been confronted with that in 2021 and been aware of the deadly issues that they were facing, they didn't know. They were lied to. They were frightened on top of all the lies. What a deadly combination. You scare the hell out of somebody and then you lie to them. Yeah, I feel really sorry for the Canadians. I feel even more sorry for the Australians. Talk about a beta test. They've been used for so many things down there. And you cannot, if you're in Australia and you have COVID, you cannot get ivermectin.
I know it.
Period. It's done.
Yeah.
You can't get it.
I don't think you can get it in Europe either.
I don't know. David Oates, who will be on tomorrow night, or was going to be on tomorrow night, had to miss last week's program because he came down with COVID. And now he's in the post-COVID stage. Terrible sore throat, other physical issues that make it impossible for him to do the program tomorrow night. So I wrote, first thing I said was, David, try to somehow get ivermectin. And he couldn't.
Yeah.
Said, nope, can't do it. So I don't know what they're doing in Canada with that. It seemed to me that you could ship it across the border in FedEx or some, if you had some friends up there that needed it desperately. I just don't know. But woman.
It's criminal, denying people an effective medication.
Forcing a defective medication on them is even worse.
Right.
Such as mass murder. Okay. Anyhow, good for that lady. But the irony of it is that the guy who used to mock her is now in her care. Crazy. Watch out for the bird flu. They're playing a lot of games now. Again, it's about the fourth or fifth time that they've put bird flu on the front burner and said, be careful, watch out. And they've killed millions of chickens already. These are egg-laying chickens in big chicken farms.
Yeah.
And they're creating a shortage in eggs, and that does what to the price. And these layers, of course, after, I don't know, several years, when they start to slow down, they go right off to the kernel, and they're done. But it's part and parcel of the idea of created, enforced famine. That's what they're doing. I think most of you can see that. And you all have been go ahead.
I was just going to add that Moderna is already prepping for, a bird flu vaccine. What are they in phase one trials? And they're claiming, extraordinary results.
Yeah. First thing I ask you, is it an mRNA platform? Vax?
Yes. Yep.
See? Now this one, remember the drumbeat is that H5N1 is five times more deadly than COVID. So they've already set the stage for the great fear. They could pull this off again easily. And Americans would line up and roll up, guaranteed. It's exactly what
would happen. Well, I don't know. I look at these vaccs injured, and I don't think they will be volunteering. Maybe a few, but I think most of these people
not
have
the vaccs injured. They've had enough. I'm just talking about the rank and file who still think that they're healthy and are frightened to death of getting a a massively more fatal virus than was the supposed COVID virus, which was just a bioweapon. Anyway,
well,
we'll
should
see.
Should we read? We should read some of those accounts right now of, since we're on topic, of these people who are still getting the shots.
Yes. I have Thug Tedros here queued up if we want to play that too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So here's Teddy Tedros of the WHO, a true thug, if not worse. Bird flu vaccines being prepared for the world by the World Health Organization.
Over the past few weeks.
All right, shut up, Ted. All right, here, now, your turn.
Over the past few weeks, there have been several reports of mammals, including minks, otters, foxes, and sea lions.
He said mammals, is what he said.
Been infected with H5N1 avian influenza. H5N1 has spread widely in wild birds and poultry for 25 years, but the recent spillover to mammals needs to be monitored closely. For the moment, WHO assesses the risk to humans as low. Since H5N1 first emerged in 1996, we have only seen rare and non-sustained transmission of H5N1 to and between humans. But we cannot assume that will remain the case, and we must prepare for any change in the status quo. As always, people are advised not to touch or collect dead or sick wild animals, but to report them to the local authorities. WHO is working with national authorities and partners to monitor the situation closely and to study cases of H5N1 infection in humans when they occur. WHO's Global Laboratory Network, the Global Influenza Surveillance and Response System, identifies and monitors strains of circulating influenza viruses and provides advice to countries on their risk to human health and available treatment or control measures. WHO recommends countries strengthen surveillance in settings where humans and farmed or wild animals interact. WHO is also continuing to engage with manufacturers to make sure that, if needed, supplies of vaccines and antivirals would be available for global use.
You betcha. Boy, Teddy, he's right on the job. What a guy. What a guy.
You're reading right out of a playbook.
They keep running the same play over and over again, and it keeps working. That's the screwy part. So they're going to inject everyone with mRNA tech and liquid nanoparticles and 200 to 400 billion pieces of DNA fragments if they follow along with the same product that they have now. The latest figure on the newest version of the COVID death vax here is about 20% of Americans have taken it. That's what they're claiming. That's the number. I don't know. I can't prove that.
I have no trouble believing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not here either. Okay, let's jump ahead. We've got...
To just illustrate what we were talking about, the enthusiasm has not waned for these things, at least in some circles, which is really rather shocking, particularly to these people who are struggling with their injuries, some of them going on 3 years now, and their families can see them up close and personal, what they're going through, and yet there's some sort of disconnect where they think it's not going to happen to them, or this is some unique and rare reaction, or they're making it up.
And they're getting tired of being deceived by someone playing victim. That's what they
right.
That goes right along with what we read, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. This one person was saying that her own family is sick and tired of her vax injured status, and they're actually telling her and demanding, when are you going to get well? We're sick
well,
of
that's,
this.
That's always been the issue, with an illness that doesn't have you know, you don't have a broken leg. There's no bandages. But,
right.
You know, you're having issues functioning, and people can't see that. That doesn't really show on the outside. And so, you know, they tend not to believe it.
Right. All right. Which one do you want to start with here?
Let's start with this COVID boosters and then go on to vax addicts.
COVID boosters. Okay, I got it. All right, go ahead.
Someone says, are they still giving shots away for free where you are? I live in Japan and have managed to weather the storm of crazy that swept this country for 3 years. I refused all offers and attempts by the state to have me jabbed, and I tried to warn others about the obvious insanity of believing the narrative. In the beginning, the compliance level here was predictably high. Everyone got multiple doses without questioning what they were being shown on TV. In my own company, only me and maybe two others refused to be injected because the whole idea was insane. Everyone else took it despite my attempts to alert them. Now, fast forward a couple of years, and the uptake in Japan has dropped to almost zero. Nobody wants this shite anymore, and they've given up trying to get people jabbed. All-cause mortality is up, but the legacy media would rather talk about cherry blossoms. Long story short, if you're stupid enough to still want someone to inject a syringe full of DARPA biosludge into you in Japan, you have to pay for it out of your own pocket now. Health insurance doesn't cover it either, apparently. How about where you are? And there was a long list of responses, but here's two rather comical ones. Yes, here in Canada, COVID jabs are free, among other free things like opioid drugs, period pads in military men washrooms, free boob jobs for transgenders.
Come on.
All paid for by taxpayers.
Is this true in Canada? I wouldn't be surprised. I guess it is.
And then someone adds to that, and don't forget, you can also opt in for the government-sponsored suicide free of charge.
That's true. Yeah. Great time in Canada.
Yeah.
They would do, the last I heard, they were doing 38 or 39 suicides a day. Assisted suicides. So
yeah,
business is good.
I guess so.
They'll have home delivery services soon. No problem. They'll leave one black plastic body bag and they'll give you a designated day to put it out on the curb and it'll be picked up by a black trash truck with a certain symbol on the door. Who knows? All right. Vax addicts. Addicts. Let's see what this says.
Now, this is from a vax injury group, so bear in mind the person, all of the people in here are vax injured that are commenting, and there were a lot of comments to this.
Right. All right. My sister just got her 7th booster. I have no words. I couldn't even comment. How could somebody who has a sibling suffering, this is the writer talking, suffering, for 3 years, keep putting this poison into their bodies? And a comment to that, because people who didn't get sick from the shot don't believe the people who did.
Yeah. Or, you know, they don't think it'll happen to them. They think it's a fluke.
Always going to happen to the other guy. That's why people join the military. It won't happen to me. It'll happen to the other guy. And there's a few comments following that. I'm so sorry. I know this all too well. Certain family members keep loading up every chance they get with this poison. They are the same family members who don't give a crap about what I've been through. They are brainwashed. Distancing myself from them has been beneficial to my health, yet it hurts me more than I could ever say. Reply to that, I'm so with you. My daughter boosts and boosts the grandkids. I guess she thinks I'm faking seizures, faking BP tests, MRIs, and immune antibody blood tests. I enjoy throwing tens of thousands of dollars away. It just makes zero sense to me. She barely speaks to me since I told her. My sister, too. I just pray for their safety. I would love to know how you manage it. It is all so heartbreaking. And someone says to that, my parents are on their sixth or seventh. I simply cannot comprehend. Wow. Onward.
And, yeah, I know. Here's another one. I really wonder why some of us get wrecked and others seem to move along without a hitch. Next person says, my friends keep getting RSV, boosters, shingles, flu, pneumonia, and more shots. I don't get it. They're like pincushions. They see I could barely stand for 6 months and had massive pain to walk for 2.5 years, and they still line up like a deer on a salt lick. Another one says, my hubby almost died of COVID. It wrecked my daughter, as she was mentally fragile already. My son and I got our first vaccine on the damn day we brought my hubby home. He had been in the ICU for 64 days and had coded numerous times. My son and I were both in the ER 4 hours later. The medical gaslighting was hell. Long story short, my son and I both have neurological disease now, and my daughter just informed us that she got a monkeypox and flu vaccine last week got her fourth COVID booster. This is pure insanity.
You didn't read that last paragraph quite right.
I left out the expletives.
Chicken. All right. Here's the last one. Now get this one. Stop.
Yeah, this is...
somebody writes this. I swear to God, these are real comments. Stop berating people for getting their vaccines. For the most part, they do work the way they're supposed to, and they protect people. The problem is with how the COVID vaccines were developed so quickly in order to reduce the overall spread of the virus and how quickly they needed to be distributed. Our governments need to do better and fully admit that the vaccines were not 100% safe for everyone. It's pretty arrogant to believe that every single human body is going to react the same. Go ahead.
I'm into my third year dealing with a plethora of autoimmune diseases, all from my first vaccine, and now I'm pretty much locked into getting vaccines regularly because I have little to no immune system left. Vaccines do work. Otherwise, we wouldn't be seeing an increase in measles, mumps, rubella, and polio as more and more people are not getting their children vaccinated. Live and let live. Well.
How about dumber? Never mind. I won't say it.
No, this is.
That's pretty.
Well, that's somebody with Stockholm syndrome, and they cannot.
Right. It's true.
They don't want to see what's actually happening.
All right, because you did so well with that, and you read every word in every sentence. Go. You should see some of this stuff, friends, that we have to skip by judiciously in the name of common courtesy, which is disgusting. All right. Erica is now going to read Flip-Flop on Dating the Vaxxed.
Okay. I have a good friend who is in great physical health. She's been an anti-vaxxer for many years and knows all about shedding, and she is an acupuncturist. She met a guy on an airplane who says he took, quote, one shot. And they haven't been intimate yet, but they are talking every day, etc., and are planning on being together. I am just shocked at her behavior, as we both observe someone we both know get super sick from sleeping with a vaxxed person. She thinks, quote, just one shot may be okay.
No problem. No problem. Go right ahead.
Also, she said she didn't feel sick around him or anything. She is getting soulmate vibes from him. He can't even remember which shot he took, which I personally feel is BS. And how does she know he only took one shot? I don't think there's anything I can do. She knows the repercussions well. I think this is going to happen more and more.
Yes, it's those soulmate vibes, otherwise known as hormones, that are rising up and dictating policy. Wow.
Well, that's, you know, one of the strongest urges. You know, it's...
I'm going to write that down.
Not everybody can tame it. And
fortunately, it was never a problem for me. No problem. Okay.
No, they will rationalize, you know, and
oh,
you know,
do they ever? Oh, do they
making
ever.
Bad decisions and then suffer the consequences afterwards.
Watch, 6 months from now, she'll be writing in. Said, just got back from having several more clots removed from my legs. All right. See, we have some more Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, CJD. I can't get over my sister's death with this horrible disease, CJD. I have nightmares about this. It was all so sudden. Every day I watch TV, play games on Facebook, wait until it's 5 o'clock and drink wine until I go to bed. I have to get out of this rut, but don't know how. She's depressed over her sister's death from CJD. Okay. Comments. I definitely understand your pain. Another comment. I went to the doctor and was put on an antidepressant because I couldn't stop crying after my mom died of CJD. Like I would be in a random place and just start bawling, crying my eyes out. Including the actual doctor's office. It didn't make me better, or didn't make it better, because nothing made it better, but it did help me get through it. And Raquel says, it's a horrific disease. When I lost my mom at only 68, it was an incredibly sad time. I made a choice afterward. I chose to be happy, travel, and live my life to the fullest in honor of her. She would have wanted me to do that. She would never want me to be depressed and waste my life. So I chose joy. I miss her every damn day, but dedicate my life in honor of her because she can't live hers. All right, finish this one up and do the other one.
All right, someone else says, have you gone to grief therapy, Deb? It will help. I am so sorry. This is so painful. Another one, we all feel your pain. My sister died October 24 of 2022, and I will never be the same. Take care of yourself. And this person says, my lifelong girlfriend, I'm 64, is quickly slipping away from CJD. She was diagnosed on February 23rd of this year. 2 weeks ago, she was on her couch, grandson in her lap, watching TV together after dinner, and now she is bedridden, being fed, good appetite, and unable to communicate. I have no words. I can't remember a time when she was not in my life.
That's 6 weeks ago she was just diagnosed, and now she's unable to communicate. This, I know there's a fast run to the end after diagnosis, but these things seem to be 2 to 6 weeks, and you're gone. Isn't that suggestive of possible turbo CJD, or is this?
Well, you know, prior to this COVID disaster, it would not be unusual to have a CJD diagnosis and then have somebody expire within 6 weeks. It, on average, though, it's about 18 months. But it would not be uncommon in some cases to go as fast as 6 weeks.
Okay.
But, you know, some of these, though, it's like flipping a switch. You know, we had that one where somebody was riding in a car and...
From the driveway to the stop sign at the corner, the woman could no longer recognize her own daughter in the car.
Yeah.
from the driveway. That's
pretty severe.
To the stop sign.
The family members who are dealing with this, it's almost like having, it's like a trauma. They have PTSD after going through it.
It's a terrible, horrible trauma because the entire biological memory is eradicated, that they don't even remember who you are. All those times, all those joys and all those disappointments, life, it's gone in the CJD victim. Gone.
Yeah, it's like, body snatchers. It's just they're there 1 minute and then they're not.
Driveway to the stop sign.
And you're caring for a total stranger.
They look the same. If they even speak, they'll sound the same. But my God, this is truly a satanic disease. Do you want to do, we have about 7-8 minutes. Do you want to do Cheryl Atkinson or do you want to just keep reading?
Oh, why don't we do Cheryl? This is a good interview. It's not too long. We probably don't have time for all of it, but she's interviewing Pierre Corey again. We played some of her interview last September where she interviewed Dr. Jordan Vaughn about the clots that are happening in the vaxxed. And she's now doing another interview updating, what the recent developments are. She actually interviews the embalmer, Richard Hirschman, here, talking about what he's seeing in the
disease. Richard Hirschman.
All right.
Guy gets around. Clots, they're click videos of clots all over this video. I mean, when Hirschman comes on, huge clots. Clots, clots, clots. Amyloid clots. All right, here we go. Cheryl Atkinson. She's an excellent journalist.
In this Arizona convention room are the faces of a COVID epidemic still impacting millions of Americans.
I think it's the number one crisis we're facing in America right now.
People suffering from post-COVID and post-vaccine symptoms, and the doctors treating both patients and failures in the healthcare system.
It's my belief that the medical system has essentially failed. It's collapsed.
That was Pierre Corey, Dr. Corey.
In Alabama, a growing collection of accounts of mysterious fibrous material in the systems of the dead.
Lots.
Can you estimate about how many other embalmers or people in the same line of work you've personally had contact with who've described something similar?
This is Hirschman.
Everyone that I've had personal contact with are seeing them.
We report on some of the disturbing evidence and an even more disturbing lack of response. COVID has not only sickened a society, but ignited a movement among doctors who say our institutions and government kept them from curing the sick.
I had 7 COVID patients in the ICU, and 7 patients died because I wasn't allowed to treat them the way I wanted to treat them.
This week,
that's Dr. Paul Merrick.
Focused on COVID, post-pandemic changes in treatment, the practice of medicine, and what's next?
We haven't seen how bad this is going to get yet.
I got to wait for this. She's got a little opening here. Let's get past the opening and go back.
Welcome to a special edition of Full Measure, where we're examining post-COVID concerns and controversies. I'm Cheryl Atkinson. In recent days, Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert announced she had emergency surgery for a blood clot and was diagnosed with an iliac vein problem called Mayfirner syndrome. Though it's impossible to know the root cause, we've been reporting on a notable uptick in this very disorder, as reported by independent physicians treating thousands of patients. It's one of many illnesses they say could be caused by or worsened by COVID or COVID vaccines. One estimate from a National Institutes of Health study implies up to 1 in 4 adults may be afflicted with long-term problems. Today, the latest on what cutting-edge doctors are learning. At a recent medical conference in Phoenix, Arizona, we caught up with Dr. Vaughn, CEO of MedHelp Clinics in Birmingham, Alabama, and Dr. Pierre Corey, co-founder of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance and medical director of the Leading Edge Clinic.
It's my belief that the medical system has essentially failed. It's collapsed. It does not serve the patient. It serves numerous interests. Generally, they're financial. And I think it's a model where it really benefits from patients staying ill and being chronically ill.
Together, Drs. Vaughn and Corey have treated thousands of patients with long COVID or long vax. We met a few of them last year.
Andy Sink, 55, had acute COVID that required hospitalization.
Phil Williams, 58, he's treating my wife for blood clotting.
I have congestive heart failure as a result of it.
I had GI symptoms and heart issues.
Many blood clots in my lungs.
According to an ongoing National Institutes of Health study, up to 25% of adults are stricken with long COVID 6 months after infection, which could also be long vax if they were vaccinated. Symptoms include mood problems, retina detachment, atrial fibrillation and other heart problems, blood issues, weakness, muscle disorder, nerve pain, and more.
What is happening for people who may not see patterns or what's going on?
One of the things I always think about the physicians that are probably in the places that aren't seeing it is that they don't have the lens to understand that there's a pathogen, the spike protein itself, causing all of these multi-systems issues. And if you don't ever have that lens, instead, you're going to basically kind of jump over yourself to try to find a way to explain these multi-systems issues that really aren't explainable previously in our textbooks, in a sense. And it's just going to be frustrating.
Describe what you see happening to people.
So in many ways, I mean, it is very young people that were otherwise athletic and living their life. And then they are go from that to being debilitated. And then on top of that, as Pierre say, I mean, the kind of increase in the type of cancer diagnosis that I even have in my, you know, primary care practice, to neurological diseases that I never thought would happen, to things like systemic amyloidosis that I would have never, you know, seen in some of these patients, or may have seen in once in a lifetime.
Dr. Corey, what are you seeing?
I kind of differentiate vaccine injury and vaccine syndrome. The vaccine syndrome is a chronic illness. The vaccines we know can cause a lot of acute issues, so heart attacks, myocarditis, strokes, anaphylaxis, various rashes, things like that. But what Jordan and I specialize in is what we call...
Excuse me, Pierre. You know, did you notice what he listed there? What the vax does to people? Did he say it destroys the blood first and foremost?
Yes. Bravo.
He didn't say that.
I thought he did. Maybe
no.
Not here, but somewhere
not,
else.
Not in this one. No, he just skipped right over.
I'm remembering that's something.
That's what got me here. I'll back it up just a bit.
Things like systemic amyloidosis that I would have never, you know, seen in some of these patients, or may have seen in once in a lifetime.
Dr. Corey, what are you seeing?
I kind of differentiate vaccine injury and vaccine syndrome. The vaccine syndrome is a chronic illness. The vaccines we know can cause a lot of acute issues, so heart attacks, myocarditis, strokes, anaphylaxis, various rashes, things like that. But what Jordan and I specialize in is what we call long vax. Same thing as long COVID. Only real difference is long vax is on average sicker than long COVID. I also will say the long vax is far more prevalent. So in my practice, where we've evaluated over 1,200 patients, 70% with long vax. It was triggered by the vaccine, temporally associated. And although we give it this new name, long COVID, long vax, it's not a new disease. It's an old disease that was called myalgic encephalitis / chronic fatigue syndrome, or MECFS. And that disease has been around for decades.
Now that's interesting that he would cite CFS as being related to this. I guess he's just paralleling the symptomology of it.
Well, it was always kind of an umbrella term for complex chronic illness.
Correct.
Associated with infections, but with SARS-CoV-2, the incidence of MECFS, or what we call long COVID, is so high, and the vaccines use the spike protein, which is the main pathogen on the virus, and that's exploded MECFS.
What are you finding in terms of treatment in simple terms?
Sometimes, if I'll address one mechanism, I can hit a home run with a patient. Like sometimes, one medicine, boom, they're like, oh my God, I feel better. The vast majority, it's more iterative. I go after this one, this one. This is just my approach. And I'll find like iterative improvements. Like some symptoms will disappear when I address mast cells, others when I address anticoagulation, others when I address sort of macrophage activation. And so it's kind of like sometimes I feel like I'm putting Humpty Dumpty together.
it affects every system, and it takes a long time to sit there and balance where you're going to focus, because you...
Most important statement, it affects every system in your body. Don't forget
that. It sure does. Yeah, wherever
it goes.
Okay,
that's really, that's crucial. All right, we'll listen to a little more.
They're all related in some ways, but you attack, at least I do, attack the thing that seems to be the most prominent first.
What are you learning today that you didn't know 3 months ago? Like, where is this going in your opinion?
And I think it's really the foundation of what we need is a new field, which is spikeopathy. We need to learn much more about that. What I'm doing, so I'm not a basic science researcher. I'm a clinician, and I'm upfront with patients. I'm trying to learn how best to help them using various therapeutic mechanisms. Like, for instance, ivermectin, which is one of our mainstays, has about 20 positive mechanisms of action. But there's lots of other therapies which have similar. And so, really, I am just doing old good gumshoe medicine, really, just figuring out how best to help my patients in a safe way, in an effective and sustained way. And that's just me trial and erroring. And I have to tell you, the clinical trials research response of our medical system has been appalling.
Cutting.
Okay, we'll have to stop there. Yes, appalling. Absolutely. The medical industry has so gruesomely failed the public. First of all, by forcing with fear and this biological virus, this COVID virus, the people to take these deadly injections. The total failure. And a lot of them knew. They knew.
Of course they knew.
And,
yeah.
And now what are they doing? Nothing. They're certainly not going to take on any responsibility.
Well, bilking people out of their savings.
Tests.
Yeah.
$100,000 in tests, and you're up shit creek anyhow. Doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah. Yep.
Corey's, you know, always been very honest. He basically said, we have to start all over again. We don't know what the hell we're doing. We need to look at this as spikeology, okay? This
spikeology.
Goes back to, same idea. This goes back to, all right, Dr. Chetty and what he said. What did he say in the first video we played of him? His finest hour, in my view.
Yeah, it's
he said,
toxic protein known to man.
Deadliest thing mankind has ever created.
Yeah.
Horrible. And
it's so insidious. You know, it doesn't kill quickly, although I suppose if you get enough of it, it can. But it just sits there. You know, once it's in the body, it's not easy to get it out.
You can't. Well, if
you... know, it just wreaks havoc. Wherever it ends up, it you know...
Right. It's the deadliest
protein
ever created.
The organs and tissues. And I still say if you cannot correct the issue with the heme, you know, nothing else is going to get better. You know, without heme, you don't have a physiology. Sorry.
We'll spend more time on that. We've already brought that front and center, and big surprise, it's not taking off, but it is maybe the linchpin aspect of this whole horror that is not being looked at. Not by the rank and file.
I would say so. I have not heard anybody talking about porphyria, and that was talked about extensively at the beginning of this pandemic.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
Very good. Okay, we have to say goodnight to all of you around the world and wherever you are listening. Thank you for being here. Good job, partner. Thanks. Talk soon.
Okay. All right. My pleasure. Good night, Jeff.
Okay. And we'll be right back with another hour for you coming up next. Hold on.